Amen and amen. Blessed be the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ be greatly glorified in all the corners of the earth and even as it is in heaven. In the name of the Lord Jesus. All things were made by him, and nothing was made which was not made by him. In the name of the Lord Jesus. We understand through faith that the world were framed by the word of God, and nothing was made which was not made by him. Father, we thank you this morning. We worship and we adore you, Lord. Lord, it's a new day, a new beginning. Amen. Your loving kindness has been made new unto us, new every morning. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A new day, a new beginning in the name of the Lord Jesus. We forget about the past. We look, forget the things which are past. We reach on out to the things which are before us. And we know there are glorious things in the name of the Lord Jesus. The things which eyes have not seen, which ears have not heard, which has not even entered to the heart of any man. But yes, it has been revealed to us by his Spirit. So we thank you for this wonderful and glorious things right ahead of us, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, as we read the word of God this morning, we are told this word called a lamp unto our feet, light unto our path. In the name of Jesus. He that followeth me shall never walk in darkness. He shall have the light of life. And the Lord Jesus, the word of God, he is the light of life. So we thank you this morning. Lord, leave us a blessing as we read this morning. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, by the grace of God this morning, the unveiling of God's people. The unveiling of God's people. God's people are depicted in Revelation. Who are God's people really? Well, they are depicted in Revelation 12, the 5th verse. And I read. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. You know, the church is always depicted as a woman in the Bible, right? So we know that by now. So anyway, so this woman here, like we talked about before in our television series, she is the church of all ages. She includes the church in the wilderness, which Brother Stephen spoke about in Acts 7:38. That's a wonderful shout out of the Bible. If you want to see the Old Testament in a succinct way, read Acts chapter 7, right? So he's talking about the church in the wilderness in verse 38 of Acts chapter 7. That is Israel, right? Which is Israel. So this woman here, that self-revelation, is in there too. And also the New Testament church, we are all represented in that woman name in Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. Anyway, so God's people have been veiled to, so to say, all over the ages. Yes, whether they are Israel, whether it's the New Testament, we have been veiled all these ages. But the unveiling of God's people is at hand, it's going on, it's coming. And pretty soon now, should be fully unveiled. The Lord depicted the veiling and the unveiling of both the Old Testament church and the New Testament church in his parables. All those parables, well, some of them are about the kingdom of God, right? So even this unveiling of his people was depicted in two of his parables. One for the Old Testament people, our church, one for the New Testament people, which is the New Testament church. So I will pick the first one for Israel is depicted in the parable of the hidden treasure. And I will read in Matthew 13. So the unveiling of God's people, they were up, they have been veiled all these years. But the time is coming, the hour is coming. The unveiling of God's people. So Israel, is depicted in that parable of the hidden treasure in Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field. The which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buy that field. Let's see if we talk about Israel here. We can understand what is the field in this case. We can understand what the field here means, and also who is the man we talk about here. By looking at the other parable that the Lord gave, you know, we use scripture to explain scripture. No scripture is a private interpretation, right? So we have to use scripture to explain scripture. So in the parable of the tears in Matthew 13, the same chapter 36, and I read, what you see, what is the field? What is the treasure? And who is the man? So in Matthew 13:36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tears of the wheat, of the field rather. So they came to ask him. No, they always come privately, right? In Matthew 17, where they had trouble casting out a demon, right? An epilepsy demon, right? So and they were so ashamed, and the Lord cast it out. Then they came privately. Lord, why couldn't we cast it out? I love them. They come and ask the Lord, you know. Or even the parable of the sower, and they come to the Lord, separately, and say that we tell them about this parable. So the same thing here. So declare unto us, the Lord, they said, the parable of the tears of the field. So and the Lord said in verse 37, he answered and said unto them, he that sweareth the good seed is the Son of Man. It is consistent, right? So he that sweareth the good seed is the Son of Man. And the field is the word. So in this treasure, as is hidden in the field, we can apply the same thing. That man is also the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. No difference. And the field is the word. So in this case too. So the field where the treasure is hid is the word. That is the race. What is the word now? The race of mankind, generally speaking. Or the social order of this age. That's what the word is really, you know, that we talk about in that parable. And the man, like I said before, who found the treasure was the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because he has many parables. They are grouped together. Some are about the kingdom of God, and these two are about the kingdom of God too. So anyway, in this parable of the hidden treasure, the man found the treasure. He hid it again and sold all that he had that he might buy the field. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven, gave all he had, impoverished himself, so that he might redeem the world. We are told in 2 Corinthians 8:9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So we see it is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know what he said is the word, right? The word system, right? And we know the man is the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the treasure then? Talking about the unveiling of God's people. And we are saying that in this parable, the Lord is talking about the veiling on the unveiling of Israel. So what is the treasure? There are some passages in the Bible, Old Testament in particular, which identify the treasure as the kingdom of Israel. And I pick a couple of them. So, in those passages, God spoke of Israel as his peculiar treasure. So what is the treasure? It's nothing but the kingdom of Israel. Exodus 19:5. That's what it says. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure. There you go. So talking about the children of Israel, right there. A peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, the Lord said. Also in Psalm 135:4, for the Lord has chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. That treasure in the field, in the world, was revealed. One of these days shall be unveiled, the unveiling of God's people. And we know we have explained God's people are broken into two categories, right? That we are Revelation 12, church in the wilderness, Israel, and the New Testament church, the bride elect of the living God, the Lord Jesus. When God called Abraham, he called him for a specific purpose, that through him and his seed, all the nations of the earth were to be blessed. That is in Genesis 22:18. And in that seed, the Bible says, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Well, we put it here, Moses said so. Then he told Abraham the same thing. And even in the New Testament, we are told too that the Lord gave the Holy Ghost to them that obey him, right? So that is in Acts 5:32. He gave the Holy Ghost to them who obey him. You know that? So Israel was to grow according to God's plan. He was to grow to become a great people, and he will be surrounded by other nations. The Bible says and predicted, even though so, yet he should not be reckoned among the nations. Yet he will grow. There are the nations around him, but Israel will stand alone. She will not be reckoned among the nations. It's a peculiar treasure. That is in Numbers 23, verse 9. For the top of the prophecy of Balaam, you know, one of the beautiful prophecies in the Bible, really, you know, though a higher link prophet later, but nevertheless, when he was in his spiritual senses, he got beautiful things from the Lord and so on. Numbers 23:9. For the top of the rock I see him, and from the east I behold him. No, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. That is talking about Israel, right? There are many other about the Messiah too. We talk about him. So we say there. So the scripture spoke of the peculiar place that Israel was fulfilled in God's purpose. We are showing that in that parable, talking about Israel veiled, but soon will be unveiled to the world, you know. So many Bible verses tell us about the peculiar place that Israel was fulfilled in God's purpose. Deuteronomy 4, verse 5 is one of them. And I will read. Behold, I have taught you. Moses begins to tell them that book is where Moses begins to finish up his ministry and kind of summarize what he has done and some of that, you know. So he begins to tell us in tell them in verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me. We are saying that God put Israel to be in a peculiar place, you know, for God's eternal purposes, right? So now, commanded me that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. All that God has shown you, O Israel, through me, this long way you go to that land, you are to live by this word and show the rest of the nation where you are going. This thing that God has given to you through me, Moses told them. So, verse 6 says, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Even put nations there when you go, nations, no? Which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people, meaning Israel. For what nation is there so great who has God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? See, he's near to them as like no other people, which he was telling them. And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgment so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? If you look to this country itself, the law thereof, the real genuine law, you can see they are based upon the Bible. Any righteous nation has thought that they are based upon the same principle of the Bible, really, you know. So anyway, so you see that place that God gave Israel right there, you know, among many other places. So a peculiar place indeed, and so on. Moreover, it was through this nation, meaning Israel, that God brought forth Christ, the Redeemer, who will redeem the whole world. So, therefore, what are we talking about here? When the Lord said that the kingdom of God is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, it means that Israel and God's government through Israel was hidden in the world, is veiled from the world, and is awaiting manifestation, meaning an unveiling of God's people. Talking about Israel first, you know, and it is manifested or couched, you know, in mystery, in this prophecy, one of the kingdom prophecies, parables rather, you know. So at one time, talking about Israel now, it was the most powerful nation on earth, really, at one time. To this nation, God gave so many, many promises, right? Israel was to have a preeminence over the earth according to God's purposes and plans. Jerusalem, for example, was to be the capital of the world, and of which will go for the law of the Lord. We can read a Bible verse about that in Isaiah 2, verse 1. Jerusalem was to be the capital of the world, and of which will go for the law. Isaiah 2, 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Watch now, it has been last days. When it is unveiled, right? It's veiled now. The world just think, oh, that tiny nation. We push her into the sea, right? You are just, you don't know what you are talking about, you know? So, and just a tiny nation. But it will make it impact in the nation. We know it today, but sooner or later, she'll be unveiled. She's still veiled right now. The time of our unveiling is coming. Not too far away, as well as you know. Shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. Now watch, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, you see, and the word of the law from Jerusalem. See, the unveiling of God's people at the end of time, right? And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they land war anymore. That prophecy goes clear, like that to the millennium, right there, you know. So that the prophet, I think that, you know. So we see, now, that, look at how God set him right there. Powerful nation, still veiled right now. Though it's making its mark in the world, but pretty soon, it'll be unveiled. All the world will know it, and some that, you know. The unveiling of God's people, dealing with Israel first, and some that, you know. Now, despite all these things, calamities and catastrophes came in succession to Israel, you know, and so that, you know, we know throughout his life, our life, so that, you know. For example, 10 of the tribes went into Assyria captivity and have never returned, as far as we know. They are Israel, yes, and for 2,500 years, the Assyrian captivity took place, and we don't know where they are. So they are veiled. But there will be an unveiling of God's people at the end of time. The two tribes, Judah and Benjamin also, they went into captivity to Babylon. We know that one. And they returned. So even though they are returning, when they returned at that time, they were still veiled in a sense because they were subject to other nations like the king of Babylon. They were still subject. So they were still veiled, you know. But the unveiling is coming. The unveiling of God's people. Now, what I just said now, thus we see that the treasure, a symbol of Messianic kingdom, was truly hidden in the earth, meaning it is veiled. It was deeply hidden that no one on the earth outside the Jewish people have any idea of this at all. You know, so that's a type of the veiling of the people of God called Israel, you know, at this time. But the coming time is coming. The unveiling of God's people. Now, that is treasure. The treasure in Israel is so plain right there, you know. And I've given so many scriptures in there. It's there today, but the time is coming when she'll be unveiled. Even though it's even making a mark in the world today, in technology, in science, and everything like that. So we know that. Now, how about the one who found the treasure? Of course, we know that was the Lord himself. His purpose in coming into the world was to find the treasure, right? And he found it anyway, he did. And they offered it to the nation of Israel. He told them, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew 4:17, he told them. So, and the kingdom of heaven today is within us, in a way. We were told that the kingdom of God is within us. Now, it was ready to be revealed to the people of Israel at that time. But they knew not the day of their visitation according to the Lord, right? So therefore the treasure was replaced, put back into the ground. Can you imagine? He found the treasure, Then he hid it again. So that's what is happening to Israel. So that, you know, he found them, yes. Then they refused it. Then he hid it back again. Hid again at this time. The one who found the treasure hid it again. According to the scripture there. This was done because when the kingdom of heaven was proclaimed, Israel refused to hear the good tidings and repent. Instead, they were requesting for signs to prove that the kingdom was in their midst, you know. So it was given back again, if you want to say, and until the sign that it will come again and they don't say. When the wicked rulers, you know, they say to the Lord, say, we will not even serve you at all. We will not have this man rule reign over us. What's happening then? The treasure of the kingdom was covered up again when they refused it. We will not have this man reign over us. They were saying that, you know, so that treasure, even though it's Israel, was hid back again. It was so. Because when you have a priceless jewel like that and so on, that, you know, you don't put in the sight of all to see it, let it stole it and things like that, you know. So anyway, as far as the Jews are concerned, Jews, as far as we know, are the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin. So as they are concerned, the treasure had been covered 2,000 years ago. See? For the Jews, that's Judah and Benjamin. The other 10, they've been gone 2,500 years ago. We don't know where they are. But the Lord knows where they are. So they are veiled, you know, from the world. And one of these days, according to what I've been saying in the morning, this morning, they will be unveiled. So the question is this now. These 10 tribes, where are they today? Where are they? You know? There are many, many Bible answers to this. We will take a look at this in different viewpoints. Each of the viewpoints, you will see a veiling of the chain of Israel, you know, in there. So we are told in Matthew 15:24 that woman whose daughter was vexed with an unclean spirit. Oh Lord, thou son of David, have mercy upon me, you know. My daughter or something was vexed with an evil spirit and so on. The Lord said, well, I'm not sent, in Matthew 15:24, I'm not sent, but unto the lordship of the house of Israel. In a way, those ten tribes to me is a kind of a lordship too, you know. We don't know where they are. You know, only the Lord God knows where. In Assyria, they were created to Assyria, right? They were returned. You don't say, I'm sent. See, I'm not sent, but unto the lordship of the house of Israel. Those 10 tribes are veiled in a special way, right there. So, and the Lord, he found them. But they will remain covered. They will remain veiled to the eyes of the world until he, the Lord Jesus, whose right it is, comes and reveals them again at the end of time. They will be unveiled. The unveiling of God's people. Ezekiel wrote about this in 37th chapter of Ezekiel 21. Thus said the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone. See? Children of Israel, right? Whither they be gone. And we gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore. You all remember that they became two kingdoms under Rehoboam, right? Solomon's son. When Solomon was gone, they asked him, what will you do now? Your father did this and this to us and so on. We show us mercy. But he said no. He went. The elders who go with Solomon, they canceled him. But he went to the youth of his own time. They gave him the wrong idea. Well, so anyway, you know that they cannot become divided into two at that time. Anyway, God is promised at the end of time that he will bring them together. What 23 verse? Neither shall they defy themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, be God's people now, God's people veiled, right? And the unveiling of them will come in the fruition not too far from now. And I will be their God. 36 verse. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them. I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. See that the fruition, the unveiling of God's people at the end of time. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Yes, the unveiling of God's people at the end of time. And the hidden shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel. That great treasure, right? When my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. So, when the Lord does this, that I'm reading here, the treasure of the kingdom will come forth, meaning unveiled. And the rule of God on earth will be manifested to the world through his people Israel. At the end of time, to the unveiling of God's people. You know, far off right now. Before we know it now, the church is gone. Before we know it, the Antichrist is manifested. Before we know it, he appears in the temple. The temple is built. Before we know it, he declares himself to be God in the temple. See? Before we know it, we shall have the great tribulation. Before we know it, the great and the terrible day of the Lord. Before we know it, the virus and the judgments and the comfort and all that, and prophetic timeline. See? The time clock of God is ticking and ticking fast, closing the age up right now. So we see right there. Now, Christ came from another way of looking at this veiling of Israel is this. Christ came from his home in glory to find that lost treasure. After finding it, he sold all that he had to purchase the field in which it was hidden. The field is the word, right? So we know that. By giving his life, he gave all. And through this act, he redeemed the world. The field is the world, right? So he redeemed the world. Bought the field, bought the treasure in there. So he not only bought the treasure, but he secured also the field where the treasure was hidden. As it's veiled. Israel, veiled. Therefore, he has secured by redemption the whole world as well as the treasure of the kingdom. When the time comes, he will not only assert his authority over the Israel, but over the whole world. Amen? Praise the Lord. He will rule over all the world, not only just over Israel alone at that time. So now, another way of looking at it is this. The Messianic kingdom has been deeply hidden, or veiled away. For over 2,000 years, the treasure of the Messianic kingdom has been so deeply hidden, that is veiled, that many do not believe that it even exists. Today, God's kingdom, many people don't even believe that such a thing like that as the kingdom of God. They don't believe it, and so on, you know. Many, even religious people, many of them are thinking that, you know what, that they suppose that when Christ comes again, even people who believe on the law, many of them are thinking, when he comes again, his mission will be not to dig up the concealed treasure or veiled treasure, but to instead burn up the field. They are speaking about the book of Peter, right? Where it said the enemy shall melt with fervent heat, right? Well, they are mistaken, really, you know, that event takes place after the millennium. Praise the Lord. What Peter wrote there will take place really after the millennium, really, you know. So there are many today who are still Christians, and they even deny the millennial reign of Christ. They don't believe in the millennium. They don't believe at all. They are thinking that, oh, he just come and burn everything up. So, at their house there, and they say they are Christians, you know, and they don't believe in the millennium reign of Christ whatsoever. So they say that when Christ comes, the heart will melt with fervent heat. But the event is talking about is after the millennium, really. So they are misplacing the scripture. Anyway, so we see that right there. Now, the kingdom of God is even on heart now. And yet it is veiled to the Gentile church and some of that, you know. And we may truly say that the kingdom of God is on the earth now, but only in the heart of Christ followers. In Luke 17, we are told, the Lord has told us in Luke 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. 21 verse. Neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The Lord said so in Luke 17. Even so, that is concealed in a way from the world. See? Why do I say that? The world recognizes Christianity only as a religion. They don't know that you and I, we are children of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we are veiled. Even in 1 John 3, I don't have it here. 1 John 3, 1, if you have it, you can read it. He says, therefore the world knows us not, right? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Yeah, they don't know us. So they don't know us. We are veiled. The church is veiled. Amen. Praise God. Even if we are veiled from, they don't know us. See, they know Roman Catholic Church. So they don't know us. So, but one of these days, I come to it really quickly, and the church will be manifested. I don't know, you know. So even, like I said, so but the day is coming when the kingdom of God will become visible, unveiled through Israel and our Messiah. God will extend his rule throughout the earth. Habakkuk prophesied it in Habakkuk 2 verse 14. For the heart shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. You know, it's okay. So right now is the time to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now it's time to tell the people to prepare themselves to make their way straight, because they can't stop God's kingdom from coming. Now, talk much about Israel being that treasure hidden in the field. The field is the word, right? And the treasure is Israel. And we see that the man that found it was Christ himself, the Lord. Where does he play the Gentiles in the parable? It's another parable called the parable of the merchant seeking goodly pears. That's where the Gentiles are represented. And also they are veiled too, like I said just now. So Israel is God's peculiar treasure. We have been talking about it. So is the church too, in a way. In Romans 3:29, we are told, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, we are told. So, and it's our God too, of the Gentiles. In Matthew 13:45, again, another parable he put forth. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pear of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the man here, of course, in this parable, like the other one, is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is noteworthy that the parable says the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. He didn't say that the kingdom of heaven is like unto peers, right? Unto like a merchant man, right? So the merchant man was not limited to one city, right? But he was a traveler who went about from country to country. What was he doing? He was a specialist engaged in certain kind of business, that of seeking goodly pears. Not just any kind of a pear, goodly pears, you know. And so it was that in the last 2,000 years, the Lord had been seeking pears, precious jewels, for his own crown. These are individuals, of course, saved. Saved men and women like you and I, by the grace of God. By grace are we saved, right? Through faith, not ourselves, right? So these are the things that he's looking for, right? So he's an expert in what he does, meaning the Lord, in his business. He's able to distinguish between the genuine and the artificial pure. He's able to do that. The Lord, who is the merchant man, he knows those who are his too. Before the world began, when he chose us, we were chosen in him before the world began. Praise the Lord. So he knows those who are his. So you know what he's looking for either, you know. So we are told in 2 Timothy 2:19, what I just said right now. Nevertheless, The foundation of God standeth sure. Having this said, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And they let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So the Lord is speaking for peers. What does that mean? It means he is searching one with determination. He must get them by all means. Remember the parable of the 100 sheep and so on. And one was lost, right? I determined to get all of them until the last one comes in, right? He got 99, one was lost. He left the 99, he go and look for the one, right? He's seeking them with determination. Not only that, he's seeking them with discrimination. Well, by discrimination, I don't mean that discrimination between people, I think that, you know. But that I mean that, there are all kinds of peers, right? There are national peers. They are the cultured peers. And they are also the imitation peers. So that's why I have to discriminate between all the three types, right? There are the natural one, cultured one, and there are also imitation one. You want to go and buy gold today, for example. There are all kinds of gold out there. You don't know what you are looking for and got the wrong gold, right? A counterfeit gold, right? The same thing, you know. So the merchant man is looking for the natural peer, the goodly one of great price, and not the cultured or the imitation one at all. So now, the Lord, he says, even as he sought the Lord's shield, I didn't even know that, he is constantly in search for the unsealed man and woman as peers to add to his cry. During that, last 2,000 years, one day, the merchant man found a peer that was of great price. His beauty was just so wonderful, being above everything else. So, what is this peer? In the past, we talked about this a little bit, but I want to say it again. What is this peer? What is it? No, what is it? It is none other than the true church. That is a false church, right? That is Babylon church, the bride of Satan. So, but looking for the true church, this peer is the true church of the living God. It is that great called out company of believers. They are come from all peoples, they are come from all tongues, they are come from all nations to make all that true temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's looking for. That is the peer really, you know. Like I said, they are there today from the eyes of the world, but one of these days will be made manifest, you know, the unveiling of God's people. Like I said, you know, these people about the war, they are the called out one. Church means called out, right? In Greek, means the called out one. So it's looking for them. So so there is temple. We are told in 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. You see that? You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In Ephesians 2:19, talking about, you know, the church of the living God, the peer of great price, Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And when a Christian begins to read these epistles, I don't know how you cannot be happy. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a holy habitation of God through the Spirit. That's who the believer is, the peer of great pride that God is looking for. The peer is peculiarly, I spoke here before of how they make them. So the peer is peculiarly apt symbol of the church in the way it is even formed, the way they make peers. They even are done, I mean, it's like the way the church is built, or you know, it's born, or it's made. And I go over it again quickly, I did it in the past. It is not a mineral stone as other gems you will think. No, the peer is different. It is a product of life formed within the altar. You know, sometimes, something will happen to the altar external to it. It's wounded. It gets wounded. That's how they make this pyramid, or something like, you know. So they had the ulcer. Something happened to it externally. Wounds it. When it is wounded, you make a secretion. Out of this secretion comes the making of the pure. You know, that's how it is made, you know. So you can liken it to the church itself, you know. So something external comes within the ulcer which wounds and irritates it. The ulcer throws out a secretion. And so the pure is built gradually by secretion, not mechanically, no, but vitally, which is a true type of the way the church is formed. Christ was wounded, you know that, see, how it ties to the church, you know that, that parable is talking about the Gentile, the church, you know that, you know. Christ was wounded in his purchase of the church by his own blood, we know that. Then something of his own substance went into the church as it grew. The church literally has become members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones in Ephesians 5:30. Now, another thing about the pure is this, to show that it comes from the Gentile church talking about here, which has been veiled in the world. The pure comes from where? They come from the sea. That's where the pure come from, right? They come from the sea, right? And in Bible symbology, we know, you know, the sea is a type of nations, right? Tongues and peoples. Revelation 17 tells us that. That, you know, so the sea means that where it comes from, it's a type of the nations of the world, right? 17 of Revelation 15 tells us that. And it said unto me, the waters which thou sowest, which the world seeketh, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. So the church itself is taken out of the world. See? And members coming from every nation, like I said before, and every tongue and nation coming, as part of the body of Christ. And why the sea, meaning the world, why in the sea, when it is in the sea, right, it is hidden, right? The ocean, when you can't see it, right? So the church too, it's in the world, and they don't see us. They can't see us. We are veiled from them. The same thing, you know? Just like the ulcer is, and something like that, you know, the same thing. To really bring it home, that the Lord is talking about the Gentile church here. So while in the sea, meaning the world, the ulcer is veiled, it's hidden. But the hour is coming right now, when the true church of God will be made manifest. Will be made manifest, unveiled. And the whole world will see what a beautiful and glorious gem the church of the living God is. We are talking about in Ephesians 5:27 that he, meaning the Lord Jesus, might present it to himself a glorious church, not having any spot or wrinkle, so beautiful, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, one more thing about the pure before I finish here. It is secured through the altar's death. It has to die first, you know, before you can get the pier out of it. When the altar are brought to the surface from the sea that is choked on the world, they are allowed to die a painful death, a painful and lingering death. We are told that the shell must not be opened immediately, according to what they said, those who know how to do these things, as the pier should be marked. The altar must first be permitted to die. So it is then the death of the Lord Jesus Christ gives glory and beauty to the church. Just like the death of the altar gives glory to the pure, you know. That's how we know that this parable is talking about the Gentile church, hidden away from the world, you know, but to be made manifest the last day. That the pure of great price is one. You see, you saw many of them, right? But he bought only one, right? One of great price. That in itself prefigures the unity of the church. Because it's a one, right? It's not many of them, but just buy one. But that the church one means the unity of the church. In Matthew 13:45, we are told a merchant man, where I'm reading from, a merchant man seeking goodly pears. Now, who, when he had found one, not, you know, one, great, one pair of great price. You saw many of them before. I mean, but he found one. So that one simplifies, I mean, you know, meaning the unity of the church. That they all may be one. Amen. as I and the Father are one. Praise the Lord. In so many ways, you know, that the Lord couched these things here in the parables. Why is he giving parables? They are about the kingdom of God. And God has given us understanding this last day. Sometimes, people talk of different things in the church and so on. One of the men of God said, how can I even teach them algebra when they don't even know ABC, you know? And these teachings of the law, they mean something. I would like to talk about them a lot. They are the foundational things, you know, the parables of the kingdom as well as, you know. Anyway, so we see, so who, when he had found one pair of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it, you know. So the merchant man, like he says here, found good pairs in times past. He did. But then he sold all that he had that he might purchase this one, the one of great price. So the church is one. Like I said in 1 Corinthians 12:12, brought all these things out. For as the body is one, and has many parts, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So to secure this fear, Christ sold all that he had. Yea, he gave up the glory that he had with the Father before the world began. He did in John 17:5. And now, O Father, the Lord was praying, glorify thou me with thy own glory, with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. See? So he surrendered his divine prerogatives and attributes and came to the earth, taking upon himself the form of a servant. Philippians 2 will tell you all that without me going to read it. But he made himself of no reputation and took of him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So the Lord gave up all this that he might make the pair of great price, the church, his own. See? And thus did the Holy Ghost say by the mouth of the Apostle Paul in Acts 20:28, take it therefore unto yourself and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you to be overseers to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. So we saw that in there. And as it is, and it is that Christ, that Lord Jesus, the merchant man, he's the merchant man, right? During the Old Testament time, as long as you know, he found many goodly pairs. But at length, he came upon the pier of great price. You know, he made the purchase at the cost of greatly impoverishing himself. Yet, it is a pier of great value, which in the end, he will present unto himself. We are told in Ephesians 5:27 that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that you should be holy and without blemish. Now, talking about this veiling and the unveiling of the church, in Romans 8:19, we are told now, the added expectation of the creature waited for the what? The manifestation, the unveiling. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yes. For the added expectation of the creature, waiting for the manifestation, the unveiling of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The glorious liberty of the children of God. So it should have been veiled that coming right now, this age, as we are talking right now, the manifestation of the sons of God. The world doesn't know, they don't know anything about us, but soon they will know Who are the hand of God really? In Romans 8:16, we don't people put things away. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know what to say. That is just the most joyful thing one can even think of in this world, that we, the Holy Ghost, God be bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. And if children, even more than that, and if children, then hears of God, and join hears with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So hears of God, I mean, join here with Christ. All that God has is yours. The Lord was here. All thine is mine, and all mine is thine. Amen. In one of his prayers, praise the Lord. We are to see God things like that. All the things in the Bible, that all God's promises, they are for you and me. It's for you for the taking. Me for the taking. The only price you pay is your faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Other than that, all you pay, no? Even your salvation, by grace, I will say, through faith, right? It is the gift of God. And not of not of anything of work, let any man should boast. So it's within you. Take what you want. And there's unlimited promises of God. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So we see the God of the living, church of the living God. Israel will be at the end of the age, but the church being unveiled in this hour. God's people are being unveiled. And the manifold wisdom of God is doing it. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. The manifold wisdom of God is doing it. And the age closes. And the capstone in the rapture. And the church is gone. You know, so let us just be of good cheer at this hour. Don't forget, now the translation of Elijah, he encountered terrible tests, right? You know, called the Elijah sins, right? At the end of time, too, you know, we are catching all kinds of things, you know, but we are more than conquerors, amen? Through him that loved us. Praise the Lord Jesus. The Bible said, the prophet said, elect, we shall win the battle for translation, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, you see? No matter what confronts us, we are going to win, amen? We are determined, amen? Praise the Lord. We have brought the bridge behind us with the word and son that you know. We are heading up here. It is that we are heading up, you know. So, 1 John 3:2, as I finish here, the last scripture here. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So now, the manifestation of the sons of God, the unveiling of the sons of God, the unveiling of the people of God. Israel will come at the end of time, but our hour is right now at this time. Now are we the children of God. Let's sing this song as we close. From glory to glory is changing me. From glory to lightning of God and His song is changing me.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus. Spiritual things are understood by natural things. First the natural, then the spiritual, right? Have you seen a butterfly before? When it is being made in the cocoon, right?
Yes.
One of the ugliest things you can ever see. When it is in the cocoon, right? Things are happening there, it's veiled away. One day, that cocoon will just break open. Manifested, and then we take our flight, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this day in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the world knew not you, and you don't know us. We are veiled from them. The church of God is veiled. Israel is veiled. The church of God is veiled. But that's coming a manifestation. First of all, the church manifested in glory and fly away like the butterfly out of the cocoon and the world who have been ridiculing us. You don't know that we are the ruler of tomorrow. You don't know that. We're going to reign with Christ in the name of Jesus. So we thank you, Father, for all this blessed hope. Unto everyone that had this hope in them, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they purify themselves. We are purified by this hope in the mighty name of Jesus. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for the blessed hope, Lord. The glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. But I promised God, if I go away, I will come again. John 14. I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. For the trumpet shall sound, and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise forth, and we that are alive and remain shall be called all together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And who shall we ever be with the Lord?
Amen.
Until that day, Lord, we keep occupied until you come, Lord. You're going to supply all our needs. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the Bible tells us so. We supply all our needs in the name of the Lord Jesus, perfecting all that which concerns us in the name of the Lord. So as we are living this morning, Lord, we commit casting all our cares upon you in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, we are told in 1 Peter 5. Casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. No matter what obstacle we may have, Father, may the crooked places straight, Lord. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
We command the matter to be level before us so we walk in a plain path.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, for our physical bodies, Lord, Father, we pray, we claim the promise of God. Lord, if it can happen in the church, in the wilderness, God will say, oh Lord God, he brought them forth, oh Lord God, with joy, and he chosen with gladness. There was not one feeble person among their tribe. How much more now you took our infirmities, you bore our sicknesses. Healing is the children's bread, in the mighty name of Jesus. So Lord, we command, in the name of the Lord, any kind of affliction in the midst of your children to depart. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, so we know, so we have a sound mind in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Any kind of a spirit of fear we bind in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Any kind of spirit of infirmity we command to leave in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Amen.
Talking about the glorious liberty of the children of God. That is all. We are the children of God. Now are we the sons of God? Any kind of, that will hinder us, we just commanded to live. And we are moving in the glorious liberty and living in the glorious liberty of the sons of God. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. You are going to meet every need. As we go this morning, favor before every man.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let there be a restoration to the church in the book of Acts. And daily they ate their bread with gladness and singleness of heart in the name of the Lord. Lord, the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Let it be so as this manifestation of the church begin to comfort now, Lord God, the peace of God dwelling among your people in the mighty name of Jesus. Darkness covering the earth, gross darkness the people, habiting the tabernacle of the righteous that are the light in the name of the Lord. Just as I was light in Goshen and darkness all over Egypt, so it is in these last days, Lord, oh Father, in the name of the Lord, Christ, the light of life. And I say, we are now even the light of the world. Help us everywhere we go. Let this light, oh Lord God, shine that all men will see it, Lord, and glorify your name, Father. Even our Father is in heaven. We thank you this morning. Every need, every unspoken request this morning now, Lord God, Lord, we commit to your hand right now, Lord. We believe and we trust you, Lord, that we meet all the needs, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. You want our joy to be full. We refuse to settle for our joy not being full. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we claim the promise of God. You have said that our joy may be full, and we claim it in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Until we meet again now, Lord, we are going to watch between us. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Go ahead, bro.